sweat technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Dexter says that five-star KJ Lacey is going to Texas this class. Does he have a brother named Carly Lacey? Because Carly Lacey's the dude on Our Lads. So maybe it's a different Lacey. I might have even said Casey because I'm not used to dudes being named Carly. But the guy I'm looking at is Carly Lacey Jr. He's out of Saraland, Alabama. He's at Texas currently. No idea if he's related to Casey Lacey or not. That's a funny name, though.
Casey Carly Lacey. Is a dude?
Or KJ Lacey. Yeah, Carly's a dude.
Huh.
Carly Lacey, Texas. He's back on the 48.
Texas is
maybe
in
Columbus losing a game in the first week. Carly Lacey Jr. The more you know, huh?
I guess so.
No, they say he goes by KJ, but he's currently on their roster. So maybe we are talking about the same person. But he's there. He's right. He's there. Did he reclassify maybe?
There's no way that they're going to, short of injury, they're not going to sit him down.
I mean,
no,
how,
but Carly,
it would have to be disastrous.
It's a different conversation at the moment. Yeah. We're arguing Carly Lacey, KJ Lacey, whether or not he's there. It says he's there. He's got a player profile on TexasLonghorns.com. I'm looking at it right now. So he's there. He's a freshman. See if he plays in games this year for the Longhorns. We'll see. He could play. Not necessarily to replace Arch, though.
I mean, yeah, they face UTEP and another directional
yeah.
squad
yeah,
for that.
You can play up to four games and not burn your red shirt, so it wouldn't shock me. Mm-hmm. LSU's a winner over the weekend. I thought Nussmeier looked better than Klubnik. A lot better, actually.
Way better.
I think, actually, you know, it depends on how you look at things, because Lenore Sellers' run pass, he looked really good. But I think that of all the quarterbacks that got a ton of hype coming into this weekend, I thought Nussmeier probably looked like he was one of the best, because yeah. there just wasn't even the teams that won, they weren't super impressive with their quarterback play.
Yeah, I thought the experienced guys were much better than the guys who don't have experience there. I mean, which is the way that it should be. I've seen Nussmeier. I saw a mock draft today that had Nussmeier as the number one overall pick, which I don't see it. No. He's like 6 foot, 6'1". I know size doesn't matter as much as it used to. He doesn't have the measurables to be a number one overall pick. Like, I seen Klubnik is a big pro guy too. But if I had to pick between one of those guys professionally, I like Nussmeier more. Like, he's just a gamer. Klubnik, I think, looks the part but doesn't play all that good. Kind of looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane type of deal.
And I think people are enamored because he's not Lenore Sellers, but he's got some athleticism. He can move, but. Yeah, I did not like his decision-making. I did not like his accuracy, at least compared to Nussmeier. Nussmeier played far better in that game.
Big win, though, for the purple and gold.
You go
into the second biggest Death Valley, and you come away with a victory early in the season. That was big time.
Five straight opening game losses in a row before that one.
LSU looks legit, and I think that it could have been – it didn't have to be that close, because that was at towards the end of the first half where – The catch, the one-handed catch.
Yes.
And he got 2 feet down, crossed the goal line, then was pushed, then landed. They decide to challenge it, or the officials decide to take a look at it. I thought, well, at worst, it's going to be on the one-yard line. But then when you look at it, it looked like he got 2 feet down and had the ball in one hand. When he landed, the ball moved just a little bit, and they ruled it a flat-out incompletion. I was like, wow, that just took a touchdown away. I thought that was a sure thing for LSU.
It was a weird weekend with the catches, because you had that play, then you had the Texas play, where like the ball went from the left hand to the right hand, but it didn't look like the ground made it move, although it did hit the ground. It seemed like there were some inconsistencies on the catch, no catch. I wonder on that play, though, if you have to survive the ground. I was wondering that, too, because
it seemed like – because they initially ruled it down at the one,
right.
And then LSU challenged because they thought they had a touchdown.
I don't think they
did.
I think that was an official challenge.
Could have been official.
I thought it was LSU, but regardless, they challenged because they thought it was a touchdown. And, yeah, it turns out, whoa, it's an incompletion. Yeah. And it feels like they were going off kind of like the old-school NFL Dez Bryant rule, where I thought we were past that in football, but I guess not.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking, was that's an NFL rule. But from a college perspective, I thought once, especially because he got 2 feet down, once the ball crosses the goal line and he's already had two steps, I didn't think at that point, because he really got contacted after the ball was already crossed the goal line. I thought that was just a no-brainer. It was a touchdown.
I thought it was a touchdown.
I thought he didn't survive the ground and it should have been incomplete. Personally, the Google AI says in the NCAA player makes a legal catch by securing control of a live ball in flight, touching the ground inbounds with their body, and maintaining control long enough to perform a football act, such as running the ball or evading an opponent. I thought he was falling as he caught it.
Now the I don't think he made
a football move.
I forget the guy's name, but whoever the TV ref was for that game thought the action after he came down in bounds and secured the ball was a football move, and what happened after that when he hit the ground shouldn't have mattered.
See, I thought he was falling and didn't make a football move.
Yeah, it's open. But I mean, there's a lot open for interpretation.
And I think I'm in the minority here. I think a lot of the discourse on Twitter was that he did make the football move and it should have been a catch. The video replay officials and the officials in that game thought otherwise. So, I mean, it's I guess it's six one way, half a dozen the other.
Does the goal line come into this, too? Where it, as
I don't
long
believe
as the ball
it
crosses
does.
After he gets 2 feet down?
The way that the Google thing didn't read that way. But you can look it up and see what it says. Keith from L.A., I haven't played quarterback since high school. I could have made those throws that Archie missed. Cool, Keith from L.A. It's awesome.
Sure, you could have.
I'm sure you're a baller, man. Israel says Lenore Sellers, South Carolina quarterback. He is currently my favorite non-Connor Wigman quarterback in college football. I love Lenore Sellers.
That's
I loved
awesome.
Him after. I loved him last year. I loved him even more after watching the Any Given Saturday on Netflix. This dude is a beast. 6'4", 230 pounds, laser rocket arm. I heard somebody compare him to Ben Roethlisberger with speed to earlier. I think it was today.
I thought he was Cam 2.0 with passing skills.
Yeah, with accuracy.
I thought he was like a – because his size is impressive. But then when you see him run with the football, he knows what the hell he's doing.
I'm a big Lenore Sellers. That was a good win for them, Virginia. He handed Frank Beamer the game ball after yesterday's game because South Carolina playing Virginia Tech. Beamer's got a statue, all of that. Florida State with a big-time victory. Is this a bigger win for Florida State or a bigger loss for Alabama?
I think it's a massive win for Florida State, but I think, unfortunately, all the attention has been on the fact that DeBoers is on the super hot seat now and that Alabama crapped the bed and everything that they did was embarrassing, including what an Orlovsky chart, like 21, I forget what he calls it, were loafs where the guys don't even
oh, there was a lot of low energy
to tackle
in that game,
or
sure.
get involved in a play and that's all on coaching. And now it's just a firestorm in Alabama.
Yeah.
Do you guys see the stat comparing Kalen DeBoers to Saban?
DeBoers now 9-5. Is the unranked loss?
He's got 4 unranked losses and 14. Is it a 5? I thought it was 4.
Oh, he's 9-5 at Alabama with losses to 4 unranked.
Yeah, teams. Yeah. So 4 unranked losses in 14 games at Alabama. Saban had 4 in 17 years. I mean, holding himself to the Saban standard is obviously crazy because no one's Saban, but my God, is there never been a better case of you never want to be the guy that follows the guy because you're directly compared to Saban and you are crapping the bed.
No, it's not. You don't want to replace the legend. We'll get to Alabama in just a second because if they have a job opening, what could they do? I thought Carson Beck looked pretty good last night. I know he takes a lot of heat. I thought he looked pretty good last night.
I thought he looked okay.
I thought he looked pretty good.
The first 2 touchdowns, his receivers did a hell of a job for him. That one-handed catch was unbelievable.
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm not giving Beck the
Carson Beck or Arch Manning, Brian.
Oh, Carson Beck, of course. At least based on, like, Carson Beck still looked like Carson Beck to me, not only because it's the same person, obviously, but he just, whenever he faces pressure, his mechanics break down, he backpedals, throws off his back foot, kind of, you know, just slings it instead of stepping in.
Stabbing Arch.
I think I've been fairly fair on Arch. Arch played like trash. This is not a defense of Arch, but Carson Beck, all the problems we saw last year that caused all those interceptions he threw for Georgia still look like they're there. He doesn't look good whenever he faces an ounce of pressure. I'm not expecting for a glow up for Carson Beck this year.
We'll see. I think Miami has a chance to be all right. You know who he reminds me of? Maybe because it's the long neck and like the long face.
Davis Mills.
Reminds me of Brock Osweiler.
That's not a good thing.
I know it's not, but he reminds me, like, his frame, he's tall, he's long-necked, N-E-C-K-E-D, not N-A-K-E-D, long-necked. But he reminds me a little bit of Brock, isn't a good thing, I agree.
Has he ever said every interception has a story?
Probably has. Although he didn't throw any against Notre Dame. Haynes King is a load. He's 30 years old, but he's a load. He was tough to bring down. Obviously, a big reason that they won that game. Colorado subpar clock management late. Deion was very defensive of that clock management late. Like, they had 2 timeouts. They went into the final play with 2 timeouts, and they didn't take 2 timeouts. And then they throw a Hail Mary that there's nobody around. Like, how do you not take a timeout to draw up that play?
I did not see anything about that game, so you're telling me that Georgia Tech beat Colorado?
Yes.
Wow.
They beat them. Rick Flair roasted Feinbaum. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
He was he not only once, but he went back for a second dose of it, too. Rick Flair, the the nature boy, at the – how old is he, 80?
No, he's not quite 80 yet.
77 he's or something like that? He's well, Mr. Feinbaum, I guess you lose again. Florida State, and he writes in all capital letters. Like,
oh, yeah. Most of his tweets are all caps.
It's not all caps. It's the first letter of every word is in all caps. Oh. The first letter of every word is in all caps. Florida State beat Alabama. Another bad prediction on your part. Do you know how hurtful it is to call people like Lincoln Riley, Jim Harbaugh, and Ryan Day out by name when you're so far off the mark? Smarten up. You're 0-2 so far. I'm actually impressed for you in the comments you made about people's personal lives. So sad. Woo! He cut a promo on Feinbaum on Twitter week one.
Did Feinbaum had Brian Kelly on today? And Brian Kelly's first comment to Feinbaum was, I appreciate you being here today and making this appearance on this show after that big loss this weekend. Because he's taking it from every direction.
That's good. I like that. Nick, you see Corso got all his picks right?
I did.
Yeah, he did, including picking FSU over Alabama.
The Lee Corso parlay, because he picked six games, got them all right. He got Ohio State minus 122, Tennessee minus 550, Florida State was plus 350, LSU was plus 185, South Carolina minus 258, Miami was plus 130. If you would have bet $100, $100 on a Lee Corso parlay, it would have paid out $8,702. Wow. Little Lee Corso parlay. Should have done it. I mean, the college football gods, you know? Should have done it.
Not so fast, my friend. I love that he went out picking. Look, it went against my guys, but I love that he went out picking the same team he did for the first headgear pick.
It was very cool, too, that Fox took it live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fox took it live. And they like, as soon as it's over, I flipped over to Fox because obviously that's where the game was. And they were still all talking about Lee and sharing, you know, their memories of Lee. It was very cool how Fox handled it.
I guess I didn't remember he got his start on Fox. Because I think they collabed on the video and all the tributes and everything that they did for him.
The what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the one thing that I mean, it was cool that Fox did that. I don't like Fox's coverage. I'm not a Fox coverage guy. I don't like the Big Noon Kickoff. I don't love their broadcasting teams. I'm not a huge Fox guy.
They're all right, but
give me ESPN over Fox when it comes to college football. Give me NBC over Fox when it comes to college football. CBS, obviously. Fox is dead last for me.
Is it what's anything specific, like the play by the all talent?
I think it's the production. I think it's the talent. All of it. All of it. Sure I feel the same way in the NFL. Fox is my least favorite network for NFL.
Ooh, it just doesn't look as crisp as the other. Like just from the picture quality to me, it
I
always
like Fox
looks
in the
lesser
NFL because I think they have more camera. It just seems like they have more. You have
Fox
side
over CBS?
I'm Fox over CBS.
Oof, not me. Yeah. I can't stand Fox.
CBS's picture always looks crisper to me.
Yeah, I don't like the big robot either. I don't like their music.
Cletus?
I have a.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah, he actually has a name.
Not a great name.
No,
not a great name.
No, it's not.
No.
Cleats.
I'm not a fan of Fox adding Portnoy either.
Yeah,
he wasn't even allowed in the stadium.
That was a little bit off. He's not an on-camera studio guy.
Yeah.
So, like, that was not – like, Ohio State didn't ban him from the field. That was misreported.
Oh, really?
No. That was misreported. He was never supposed to be on the studio on the field. He wasn't banned by Ohio State. That was an internet rumor. The new odds, according to DK Sportsbook, for the Heisman. The leader, do you want to take a guess?
The kid from South Carolina.
No. He's second at plus 900.
Really? Nussmeier?
Mm-hmm. Nussmeier's one.
Really?
Plus 800. He's got the highest odds. Nussmeier plus, according to DraftKings, I'm sure it's different on different books. But Nussmeier plus 800, Sellers plus 900, Beck and Klubnik are tied at 1,400. I wish I could short Klubnik.
Yeah, really.
Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State, Gunnar Stockton, Georgia, plus 1,500. John Mateer, Oklahoma quarterback, solid debut, plus 1,600. Arch Manning, plus 1,600. Where did you see him there?
Sorry?
Where did you see Arch? Was that somewhere the same value?
Yeah. It was around the same. Yeah. I was looking at where he was dropping in-game. I didn't see where it came out to, you know, as of today. But, yeah, he dropped for – his odds were dropping not just at the end of the game. Like, during the game, they were dropping him down the odds boards.
I kind of like Aller at plus 2,000. I don't hate that. If they're the best team in the Big Ten, he has a good chance.
Could be.
Pretty good value there.
He played pretty good. I mean, they didn't play anybody, but he played pretty good
value.
If you want to – crazy long odds – talk about the other side of the Alabama game. Well, I wonder what Tommy Castellanos is at.
I was about, he's a plus 3,000, actually. He's on this list. I was about to bring him up because, you know he got benched by Bill O'Brien last year at Boston College.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he's at Florida State. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that until I was watching the game. I was like, that's a kid from Boston College.
Like, he's not going to put up the benched. He's not going to put up the passing yardage, but if Florida State has like an 11-1 season with a win over Bama and ACC title.
Yeah.
Plus, he's rushing for a ton. I don't know.
He'd have to get some help, probably.
Yeah, he would.
But not out of the realm of possibility. At plus 3,000, I'd rather have Aller at plus 2,000 than Castellanos. But I see where your mind's at here. I don't mind the Devin Dampier at 3,500.
Aller's going to get a whole lot of attention, too, if they stay where they are and where they're rumored to be all year. Because they're loaded. That might be the best, most complete roster in all of college football.
You think?
Penn State's really loaded.
Better than Ohio State? Better in Texas? I mean, those are all the top tier.
I guess it's easy to say they have a questionable quarterback, but he's got a lot to still polish up and get better at. Whereas I think that aside from losing, you know, their best receiver at tight end, I think that they're pretty loaded.
I think that all those teams are in the mix for like the most loaded roster in all of college football.
I think I would take Penn State in that conversation though, because I have the least questions at quarterback
for sure.
Right.
Whereas Julian Sain and Arch, I mean, Julian Sain was. He was fine, and Arch was obviously ass, but I would take Penn State just because I don't have those same questions at quarterback.
Yeah, you get the veteran, all that stuff.
Maybe I misremembered this, but didn't O'Brien bench Castellanos because of the fact that he was like, he was defiant to him or was like talking back to him at one point?
I don't remember the situation.
That would track for Billaby because he kind of did that with Hopkins with the trade.
Yeah, he got irritated by the attitude, I think, which started that.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. So we mentioned DeBoer, where he's been struggling, and Alabama is not happy. And the buyout's ridiculous, but it's Alabama. Like, they're going to find out a way and just figure out the buyout if they wanted him gone. I saw Spolane tweet this out. Next head coach at Alabama, DeMeco Ryans. Is there any chance DeMeco would leave the Texans for Alabama, Roll Tide, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
People don't like it whenever you ask this question. I asked the question. I was being called stupid because I asked the question. Let's say Alabama moves on from DeBoer, which I still think is a long shot. Like, what are the chances DeBoer's the head coach at Alabama next year? I would still say 70% that he's still the head coach there.
It's also the $70 million that they would owe him.
Right, but I don't think the money matters.
I think the boosters, you're right. I mean, in a day and age when we're dealing with all the money being thrown around for NIL deals, I don't think it's the money as much. I saw Washington fans hoping they get their coach back yesterday.
Yeah, I could see that happening, actually. Like, he gets fired from Alabama. Washington needs a coach. Why not? He was really good. He was really good there. But I mean, it's Alabama. Like, if they wanted to move on from DeBoer, they would move on from DeBoer. Just like Jimbo Fisher and A&M. Like, they would find the money. They would raise it, and they would move on. So if it does become open, and again, I said 70-75%, he's still back. He's there next year. They're fine. All that. How interested would DeMeco Ryans be? What would be the chances that DeMeco, if that job opens, would leave the Texans for Bama?
I think it would be less than 10%. I would say that at the very best, I don't even think it's 5%. But I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's in a really good situation here, that I don't think money's going to be an object for the McNairs. And I think that the workload that you have to put in is 24/7, 365 in college these days because of NIL, because of the transfer portal, because of just how many coaches don't want to deal with all the extra BS that provides. And feel like the easier outcome for them is to be coach NFL. You get a couple months off. You get to do it without having all that extra pressure. I just don't see DeMeco being a college football coach.
I mostly agree. I would actually have it less than 10%. I think it's like 3%, maybe less than that.
Yeah, but money, right? I mean, you just said it. The boosters, if they throw an ungodly amount of money, I could see him considering it.
So the reasons that I don't think that it's 3%, the NIL aspect of it, you recruit a player there, then you have to recruit them to stay there. The roster turnover is incredibly high. I do think that the work is a lot more and it's less football-y. Like, you're spending a lot of time on just the roster, and you're not spending a whole lot of time on the football side of it. You're also raising money for NIL, like all this stuff. So to me, it doesn't fit D'Amico's personality. D'Amico has never coached college football, like ever. Like that makes me think that he's an NFL guy, that he's a lifer in the NFL, and I believe that to be 100% true. But college coaches usually make more money than NFL coaches. D'Amico Ryans is making $4.6 million this year. You know how much DeBoer's making? A little under 11. He would more than double his salary if he took the Alabama money today versus his money today. Again, I have it at a 3% chance. But the money is striking. Now, I think it's more likely that D'Amico would use the Alabama opening to get a high extension and a big raise that would put him somewhere near the Alabama salary. But the money is striking. And D'Amico doesn't strike me as a huge money guy, but that's a big jump. Where D'Amico's currently making less than 5 to what DeBoer's making a little under 11.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that big.
It's more than double.
Like, but you think that D'Amico would have? Do you think D'Amico would have success in college if he coached?
I think D'Amico would have success doing anything he did.
Yeah, and I think from a defensive perspective too. If you saw what Patricia did yesterday, I think that his defensive mind and focus and play calling and every system, I think it all could translate. I think that I did not realize that the divide was that great from what he's making, and because college is. The boosters throw money the same way they throw it at players. They'll throw it at coaches.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, Andy Reid, I think, is making like $20 million. So, like, NFL coaches can still make lots of money. I think Kirby Smart's the highest paid college coach, like somewhere around 13. That's 3 times more than what D'Amico's making. I think what's more likely is that D'Amico Ryans would use those openings as leverage to get a big extension, because an extension's probably coming for D'Amico Ryans here pretty soon. They won a 3rd division title, 3 division titles in a row, took over a franchise who had won 11 games in the previous 3 years. He's loved here. I do agree with you that the McNairs would open up the pocketbooks and make sure that D'Amico Ryans handsomely paid to where he's not looking at college jobs. The money is alarming. The gap there is alarming.
Well, plus the relationship with the general manager is good, too. And in a lot of cases, that's where it might go south, just because the fact that you got a coach that's doing all those things, but a GM that there's no synergy there. And you know that there's synergy between the two of them. And Nick is, I think, as big a fan as anybody of D'Amico. So I think that all signs point to that he ain't going anywhere, and they damn well should take care of him if anything comes up.
And I think that they will. Like, McNair spend money. Like, they're not cheap. Like, they're willing to spend money, so I think they would take care of him.
I think the interesting thing, too, from the Alabama perspective is that even Feinbaum is saying that they should go, you know, Saban's still got – evidently, he's still got his office in the football facility at Alabama, and they still live there and everything like that, that they're, the big uprising now is get Nick back. I don't think he wants to. I think he's actually really good on TV.
Yeah, I would call him, though.
Like, oh, yeah, definitely 100%. Call him.
Hey, Nick.
I don't think he's going back.
Oh, that's your
Nick,
first
you,
choice,
do you miss
right?
the competitive spirit? Do you miss winning national championships? Do you miss going to Vanderbilt where there's no home field advantage? he absolutely would be the first call. I agree with you that he wouldn't go back, but I'm making him tell me no. I would make him tell me no. The ones that I'm reading is Dan Lanning.
Oh, from Oregon.
It's the one that I've been reading. Should he go to Bama?
I was going
to
say, does he have a connection there? Because otherwise, he's set pretty good at Oregon. And as long as Phil Knight is the one throwing the NIL money at the program and giving him everything that Nike gives him, Phil Knight's going to make sure that Lanning stays at Oregon unless there is some kind of a personal
connection. He was
connection.
A GA there a long time ago. I would leave Oregon for Alabama without batting an eye. Without batting an eye.
Well, but you just got done talking about finances. Money would not be an object to stay at Oregon.
It's just a different stature of job, though. Like, Alabama is one of the 5 best jobs in the country. Oregon's a good job, but it's not one of the best top 5 jobs. I would leave Oregon and Alabama in a heartbeat. Plus, I don't love living up there in the West Coast, way up there, the top corner of the United States. Get me down in the good old South.
I think Oregon is close to being a top 5 type program.
Do you?
Yeah.
You think it's close to Bama?
Well, I mean,
Oregon's won a national title, right?
I think I can name 15 I'd rather take. And that's not a slight of Oregon. There's a lot of good jobs, but I think there's more to Jeremy's point. I think there's just jobs with higher prestige.
I just think that they've been relevant now, and because they've got a boatload of money, and because he's got a good thing going recruiting-wise and paying the recruits that they get, that maybe in another year or two, especially if they get back into the playoff and make noise again, that they could be one of those programs.
I'll agree to disagree on that one.
It's fine.
I think they're, I mean, a really good program. I don't think they're ever going to be top five. They've never won an Natty.
They're closer to 15 than they are to five.
I mean, Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State, right?
I mean, LSU would be higher than
LSU,
Oregon, in my
Texas,
opinion.
Florida.
Maybe even A&M. Like, I know A&M doesn't have this storied history.
I think Oregon's above Florida right now. Florida's been I think so.
I think that one's
well.
Close.
I think you might be having two different Notre conversations. Dame? Oregon certainly accomplished more, but as far as the prestige of the job, I think it would be more with Florida.
Yeah, I would have Oregon. I would have Oregon out of the top 10. I don't know if I can name 15. Though.
I can agree out of top five, but I think, like I said, I think in another year or two, if they keep doing what they've been doing, I think they could be right there.
Well, you're kind of moving the goalpost when you say in the next couple of years.
But I said
like
that
right
from the
now.
Jump. I said I think they're
well,
close to the
Oregon's
top five.
Close to Bama.
Yeah, I thought they were close to the one of the five top programs in the country.
So you don't think you can get to 10?
Let's see.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yep.
Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M?
Not anymore.
That's fair. Not anymore.
I mean, I think they've fallen off a little bit, and they still can't get to the big one, let alone get...
I feel like they were never there.
Georgia.
Yep.
Did I say Michigan?
I don't think so.
No.
Michigan. Miami?
Nah.
Probably not. Florida State?
See, the Michigan thing to me, too, they won it with Harbaugh. Since Harbaugh, I can see that, they've got people throwing money at players, but I'm just not sure that whole program is going to continue to achieve what they were doing.
I feel like you're filibustering here.
Oklahoma? Okay.
But we're not talking about going forward. We're talking about like the prestige of the program. Like, would he leave Oregon for Michigan? Like, or if you were a highly decorated head coach, which job would you prefer? Like, that's – I think it's different than their, like, prospects in, like, the next 3 years. Because I'm with you on, like, the Michigan front. But Michigan's absolutely one of the, you know –
Oh, the blue bloods of the past. Yeah, for the long standing.
I think Michigan's better. I think Ohio – like, I kind of lost track. Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Any argument there?
No.
Any other? How about USC?
I think they've fallen way off.
USC, Oregon?
I think I'd still rather have USC.
I think so, too.
It's closer than it should be. I'd rather have USC. It's more prestigious.
Any other Big Ten schools?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, Michigan State's falling way off.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, for sure. SEC, Alabama.
Yep.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
Yep.
Oklahoma.
I'd have Oklahoma.
I would too. Oklahoma's got the prestige. They're not in a better spot currently.
Yeah,
right
currently
now today,
is where I waver.
But the prestige. Who else in the SEC did I miss there? I said Georgia. I said
you would
Alabama.
Put,
said Texas.
Tennessee or Ole Miss.
Florida.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I would
Florida.
Take
maybe.
I would take Florida. And I would take Tennessee.
Okay, maybe. Maybe those are on the fences. Notre Dame?
Yeah,
you have to.
Notre Dame, so that's 9. ACC, would you go Clemson, Florida State, Miami?
I would not.
I would go Clemson.
Clemson, I think. Clemson would be
not
the only
Miami.
One. I wouldn't go Florida State,
not
Miami.
Not Florida State.
But I'd go there. That's 10. I have a tough time getting to 15, though.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it more. But it's – anyway, yeah, it's – I think the conversation probably starts at 11.
Probably. Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, Michigan, Ohio State, USC, Notre Dame, Penn State, Georgia, Florida, Nebraska, all more prestigious. I can't go to Nebraska.
I can't go to Nebraska either.
Go to Nebraska.
I think Rule's going to do a great – he's doing a great job there.
I'd push back on Nebraska today. Oregon and Nike. I mean, Oregon does have a lot of money, but these other schools have lots of money too. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listening line. So 3% on DeMeco, leaving the Texans for Bama. You were at less than 10. Where are you at, Brian?
Yeah, 9%.
I can think of 6 million reasons. No, I'm just kidding. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Astros win a game today. All systems go. They split the series. They're back, baby. Let's react to this Game 4 Labor Day victory. The offense back? 713-780-ESPN. Luis Garcia back. He looked good, huh? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what always looks good? A goal from Pro Dunk in your driveway. They make the highest quality basketball goals on the planet. If you're getting a goal, get it from Pro Dunk. Your kids want a goal. You want a goal. Everybody in your house wants a goal, so get a goal. Get it out at the house. It's going to be fantastic. Property value is going to go up. Everybody's going to love it. And if you're going to get a goal, you need to get one from Pro Dunk. Don't waste your time in the big box stores. That's no fun. The quality's not that good. The rim's going to mess up. You have to assemble. Don't mess with that. Get a goal from Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston. It's height-adjustable, anywhere from 5 to 10 feet, and it has a breakaway rim, so you can dunk on it, hang on it, keep you safe. Relive the glory days. Thor! Their goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's their lightning-adjust feature, and it's awesome. It's easy to do. You can get that sucker up to 5, 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Accessories are next level as well. LED light kits for night play. You're at work. Kids are stuck at school. It's hot. You don't want to play until the sun goes down. Get LED light kits, and you can play all around the clock. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots, lots more. And you can order all of this, including professional installation, online at ProDunk.com. That's right. You can order all of it. That installation's great, too. Let the pros from ProDunk install your goal. They're going to install at the perfect height, perfectly level, perfectly straight. You're not going to do a thing. You'd screw it up anyway. So let the pros do it. You don't install. The pros at ProDunk do the work for you. Get a goal now. 281-351-9822. Make everybody in your house happy. 281-351-9822 or visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How could you leave off LSU? They have more natties in the 21st century than half of those other teams. We mentioned LSU early, but it forgot oversight.
Yeah, I think we mentioned them in the initial run through, but then forgot them in the recap.
Yeah, you're right. LSU should be there. Mentioned them early, forgot them. Oversight in that finalist. Astros win a baseball game today. They're back, baby. Are the Astros back? 713-780-3776. This is off. Eight runs today. This anemic, useless, lifeless offense scored 8 runs off an all-star pitcher today. Off of our guy, Yusei Kikuchi. Yusei Kikuchi got lit up by the Astros today. The Astros today played 8 innings of offensive baseball because they didn't have to bat in the ninth. They played 8 innings of offensive baseball. Do you know how many frames they scored a run today? 6. 6. In 8 of the frames, they scored at least a run in 6 of those suckers. The Astros offense is a juggernaut.
12 hits. That's nice, a lot. Too. Coming off the last 2 pathetic performances. 12 hits is nice. All those runs are good. They needed this. I'm pleasantly surprised by this, but it was a good day. Because you take all of that, you take the fact that both the Tigers and the Blue Jays lost. And so whichever way you're looking at it, now you hope the Mariners lose to the Rays tonight. But from the standpoint of from pitching to hitting, you got everything you needed today.
Where's that Rays game?
It's at the minor leagues.
I'd rather the Rangers lose than the Mariners.
Okay.
I care more about the Rangers losing than the Mariners losing. Yeah. Cash or trash, 713-780-3776.
I still want them to win the division, and I still want them to catch Detroit and you want, I don't care, either one of them, Detroit or Toronto, and they trail both of them by 3 games right now in the loss column. So it's attainable. It's possible. And when you start playing teams like the Yankees again, hopefully they'll step up and show their best starting tomorrow. But I this is a much needed game for this team to get the thing going on the right direction again.
Did you say Detroit and Toronto already lost today?
Oh,
okay, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that happened. That's great. That's awesome news. Yeah. You had 3 with Toronto too. Mm-hmm. So like within striking distance, you go into Canada and you steal a series. You sweep a series. Maybe do they call brooms there in Toronto? They have different language there.
I think they're still brooms.
Yeah, go
except
up there
for
and,
in Montreal.
Get the sweep in Toronto.
It depends on the organization.
Do they not speak French in Toronto? Is that not one of their languages?
No, it's Montreal. They speak French, right?
What is
Montreal is French.
What's the second
French
language
Canadian.
In Toronto? I want le sweep in Toronto.
I think
that would make
still
any
English.
Sense. Okay, all right.
Canada's more the Midwest. I mean, Toronto's more the Midwest accent of
of Canada.
I'm going to go with it anyways. Let's sweep. Let's sweep the Blue Jays. But, no, everything. I think everything was good today. The offense scored 8 runs. You had 12 knocks, like you mentioned. Altuve hit a dong off the foul pole, so everybody gets free Chick-fil-A. Yordan got on base 3 times. Pena had a couple of hits. Ramon Urias homered. He had a double as well. Cam Smith, Killer Cam, with 2 hits. The pitching was fantastic. Luis Garcia is back. He goes six innings in his debut. Punches out 6 in his debut. Caleb Ward, a scoreless inning. Brian King, a scoreless inning. Craig Kimbrell put everybody on base, but a scoreless inning. I don't think you can find one bad thing in today's game.
No, I was pleased. Did you see the numbers that Urias has against Kikuchi lifetime? I think he had like 5 hits and 4 were home runs.
Yeah.
So he was pretty good against, and he lived up to it today with 2 hits, including a bomb. I was really a little nervous late, though, when shortstop.
He's got stitches.
No.
You're thinking of Neto.
Neto.
I hate that guy.
I don't. Ever since he tried to start beef with Hunter Brown, but he already had 1 home run right down the left field line, wrapped it around the foul pole, and then almost did it again. It was just foul. They reviewed it. I'm like, if this guy gets 2 bombs, literally off of right next to the foul pole in the Crawford boxes, it would be pathetic.
Yeah. He's a good player, though. He's pretty good.
Solid.
But this rotation suddenly looks okay. Like last week, oh, no, who's the third starter? This is dire. This is not good. And now all of a sudden, you still got Hunter and Fromber up top. You got the Summer of George pitching likes out. Like he's
the
number
Summer
3.
Of George!
Christian Javier's no-hitting sons of guns. Spencer Arrighetti's punching out the side every inning. And now you have Luis Garcia kumbiaing his way back into this rotation. All of a sudden, the Astros rotation's nasty.
Well, he's back on fire!
I mean, for Garcia to just have the one hiccup in the fourth inning to go roll right through the first 3 and then, you know, run into trouble and give up the 2 home runs, but then to settle back down, no walks, 6 strikeouts. I mean, that's a heck of a good effort for a guy that I did not know what to expect because he was so up and down with all of his minor league starts.
Israel Killikam, 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 stolen bases, flex emoji, flex emoji, flex emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji.
Sweet emoji.
What's greater? Your like for Cam Smith or your dislike for Israel?
I think I know where Joel's at.
I don't dislike Israel the person. I can't stand his takes and the way that he pushes forward on. I mean, I remember how great Colorado was going to be this year, too. And he was, you know, talking about winning the Big 12 and how they were going to beat Georgia Tech this weekend. He loves to just completely soft sell and just push those bad takes aside and just keep on rolling.
To back up Israel, they are undefeated in the Big 12.
Great, because they haven't played a game.
I would say the thing I appreciate most about Israel's takes is when he used to call us like, hey, Cam's hitting 255, and then last week he called us, hey, Cam's hitting 244. He's hitting 244.
I will say this about Cam, though. This last 7 days or so, he's looked much better at the plate.
More comfortable.
He's had some good at-bats. He's looking a little bit like he's coming out of this a little bit. Maybe he catches fire. Maybe he gets hot. The competition hasn't been great. But, no, I've actually liked Cam Smith's at-bats last 7 or 8 days.
Wasn't Israel's big argument – or his big argument is that Cam's batting average is still better than anybody else playing the outfield
for
the
part
Astros?
Of it. Yeah, it was part of it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well.
Yeah, I'm not a big batting average guy. Still matters. Batting average still carries weight. I don't think that it's obsolete, but, yeah, batting average would be the first offensive number that I would look at. 713-780-ESPN. Anything else from this game you boys want to touch?
I just think in terms of a get-right game, like you said, hard to find a negative anywhere, and then on top of it to get the help that you needed already and the fact that the pitching staff looks like, again, because the bullpen's holding their own with a lot of guys that you had question marks about, both at the start of the year and even now from guys they picked up, that hopefully this is, because it's a big stretch for them, starting with the Yankees who are hot coming in and they didn't play today.
Yep, they were in town already. The excellent pitching matchup tomorrow, too. Fromber Valdez. I really want Cesar Salazar to catch him tomorrow. I'm going to celebrate if he's in the lineup. I might throw a party on the air. Because usually the lineup comes out like first couple of minutes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
If he's in the lineup, Brian's going to hit a sounder where we're going to celebrate. We're going to party like it's – what's that saying? Party like it's
– 1999.
Yeah, we're going to party like it's 1999. If Cesar Salazar's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, the thing is you're going to see the Yankees' 2 best pitchers because you're going to see Fried and you're going to see who's the temperamental guy with the beard that always talks crap to the Astros. Why can't I think of his Rondon. So you're going to see.
Did they hit Freed the last time they faced?
They beat him.
Jose Altuve looks like he's a little leaguer. He's on our TV right now.
Aside from the sunglasses, he looks like he just came out of Sandlot.
He does. Oh, man, that's funny. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Looks like a little kid. 713-780-3776. If you were starting an NFL franchise, it's NFL season, baby. If you were starting an NFL franchise from scratch, which quarterback are you taking? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you about the new and improved Walmart.com. We all know what Walmart brings to the table. Look, they bring great prices. They bring a ton of selection, everything under one roof, from groceries to all your needs, from pharmaceuticals to just everyday home goods. But now you need to check out Walmart.com because it has been completely upgraded, overhauled, and it is brand new. And who knew? You can get all the same prices that you get in store delivered to your door, and the prices don't go up. So you can go just like your grocery store, except for instead of going shopping and wasting time and having, in our case, to take the kids and get everybody in the car and then go shop and then get home and do all those things. All you got to do is go to Walmart.com, where they have over a half a billion items online. And there's a huge selection of items that you can't find in stores that are available to you to have delivered to your door. The fact of the matter is you save time. You still save a ton of money. And it's a huge benefit for our family. It even came in handy a weekend ago when we had a birthday party coming up and we forgot we hadn't gotten a gift for my oldest daughter to go to the party. All we did is go to Walmart.com. Ordered it online, delivered to the door, plenty of time to wrap it and get to the party, and everything was safe, sound, and saved for the birthday party for our daughter. It was fantastic. It's all great because it's all taken care of for you, and the grocery store prices are the same as you would pay if you bought them in the store. Just like other grocery stores, when you buy the groceries, there's an upcharge to have them delivered to your door, not with Walmart.com. So whether you're feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, or you got a birthday party gift you need in a pinch, you can get it all at Walmart.com. You don't have to go to the store, and you get the same prices as if you did. It's absolutely fantastic. You want it delivered in as fast as an hour? They can do that too. Fees and terms apply, but at the same time, it's people you trust because it's Walmart, and Walmart always takes care of you, the customer. Check it out. You can use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries, home goods, to prescriptions, subject to availability, but learn more about all of this by checking out the new and improved Walmart.com. Just go to Walmart.com right now.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sean McVay confirmed that Matthew Stafford will start on Sunday. It's game week. I don't know if anybody actually
thought he was going to start.
Do you want the Texans to hurt Matthew Stafford? 713-780-3776.
You want Bounty again?
No, they just sack him. His back gets a little flared up. Inflammation. He'll play in 2 weeks.
You're trying to get a player hurt again like you did with Lamar.
Do you want Will Anderson to Daniil Hunter to clobber Matthew Stafford?
Yes.
Legally?
Yes.
Legally?
Yes.
That's a different conversation. Legally. Do you want him hurt? Do you want them to hurt him, or do you want them to clobber him?
What's the difference?
Well, if you're wishing that he gets hurt in the process,
they are
instead
two
of just
things,
beating
Jeremy.
Him up.
Hurting and clobbering?
Well, no,
yeah,
okay.
If you're clobbering him in the context of the game and sacking him, that's one thing. If you're hoping that they hurt him, that's a different conversation.
I'm having a
to get way too far in the weeds. There is a difference between hoping he gets injured and removed from the game and hoping they hit him hard.
Do you hope that they hit him hard enough that he has to get removed from the game?
Okay.
Do
sure.
you?
Sure.
It's a violent sport.
Sure.
Do you hope that Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter T-bone him
it's
and he gets
be
hurt where he has to leave? No,
Stafford,
100% disagree. This is not an Aziz Alshire dome-to-dome game. You know why? Because Matthew Stafford ain't running. Matthew Stafford ain't running. Aziz Alshire doesn't blitz a whole lot. If Stafford's getting hurt by a Houston Texan, it's not Aziz Alshire.
Yeah, I would like to see Daniil and Will getting home and making his life hell all day because, as they say, the hits add up. And at a certain point, whether it's an injury that flares in his back or you're just beating him up because you're getting to him constantly throughout the game, that would be the ideal scenario.
Israel says yes, he wants to see that. Like, I mean, it's football, man. If Stetson Bennett or Jimmy Garoppolo have to come in this game, it's great for the Houston Texans.
Sure.
Like, I'm not saying to take cheap shots or anything like that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hello, guys. How are y'all?
Great.
Happy holiday. Yeah. You got a great point, finally, Brown.
Finally.
We got to touch him up. I mean, this is football. This is the big boy sport. Let's man up. It's Texans here. Super Bowl, baby.
Appreciate the call, Keith. I wonder if that was Milo on a mobile. That he had a little Milo-y.
Did he just
that
wish
wasn't the
happy
Keith
holiday?
I was expecting.
He wished happy holiday. I like that.
Who's
part.
Ever wished someone a happy holiday on Labor Day? Is that the first time that's ever happened?
I think the station did it.
No. Yeah, the station did do it. They did it today.
They did it a couple. Oh, did they?
Who's
ever come up to you on Labor Day and said, hey, happy holiday, man?
I think that's a weird.
That's never happened.
That's a weird nitpick, I think. I'm on Keith's side on this one.
That's never happened.
Happy holiday. It's a happy holiday. Most people aren't working unless you're a true dog.
I'm 41 years old. No one's ever said happy holiday to me on Labor Day.
How many people talk to you?
But I've got more friends than you.
But if you're working on Labor Day, then that would be apropos, right?
Yeah. People on the on the YouTube and the Twitch were like, hey, guys, thanks for laboring on Labor Day.
Didn't say happy holiday.
I have to go back and see. I don't think that's that weird, happy holiday. It's a holiday. Today's a holiday.
Yes, technically, but it's just not one you think of people celebrating. Like, hey, man, happy holiday. I go get a soda from the convenience store, I'm not greeting the clerk. It's like, hey, man, happy, like I would with Merry Christmas or Happy Thanksgiving. I'm not saying that for Labor Day.
Why are you putting down and demeaning Labor Day compared to all the other holidays?
Probably because I'm working. But it's just it's a
oh come on, you've used it on Arbor Day a time or two.
It's like a fifth tier holiday, let's be honest.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah. I mean, if we're asked, hey, can you work this day versus
it's like, a lower tier.
No one's asking us that on Christmas.
No.
Right.
Or
no
July
one's asking
4th,
us that on
Memorial
Thanksgiving.
Day.
No, I work July 4th.
I've
worked Christmas and Thanksgiving. But not whenever I was a full-timer.
Yeah, but your situation is different. You need comp days to work UH days.
Well, I mean, we're not being asked for comp days here on Christmas and Thanksgiving. But at other places, I've worked part-time shows on those days, for sure.
Oh, as a fill-in? Sure.
They keep it local still.
Some places do. What do you think Keith was Milo on a mobile? To me, it sounded a little Milo-y,
like it.
Didn't it?
It
catch
a little bit.
Because I was expecting the normal Keith of, hey, guys, love the show. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. And then he goes into either some guy from the 70s or something else.
Different Keith.
Instead, we got that. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then as he started kind of overselling it, it sounded like Milo on a mobile.
I can hear it. I just needed a Pally, and that would have sold it, but...
He needed a Jose Toledo. Knock out Matthew Stafford.
Pally.
Put a blue star on that one.
Pally.
It was Danilli. Like he always
yeah, he
Baggy
put the
and Bougie.
On everybody's
Danilli
name.
And Willie.
Yeah.
Keith from L.A. now won Jared Verse to take C.J. Stroud's head off. As you should! I would never expect a fan of the opposing team to like want to like, hey, pat C.J. Stroud on the behind. Good play, C.J. We'll go get him. I wish you well next week. I hope that you get through the game. No, you want your team to clobber in time the other quarterback.
Sure, but
legally.
It's different from saying that you want him to hurt him as opposed to just like beat him up all day by sacking him. And
I want both.
Him. Okay, that's you.
I want both. I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo in the second quarter.
You want elder abuse on Matt Stafford.
I don't want him to be out for more than a week. Like, but if he's knocked out in the second quarter on a legal hit, why would we like be sad about that?
I wouldn't be sad about it. I think there's a difference between being sad for it and wishing for it, though.
Yeah, I'm not hoping.
I think that's where people are drawn the line.
I would celebrate it.
There's still a difference,
though. Like when they say there's a difference between pain and injury. I'm not wishing injury on a player. At the same time, I'm hoping for my defense to be on his back all day.
Do you want the Texans to beat the Rams?
Of course.
Again, but it's
then you're hoping injury for the quarterback because it's easier to win if you hit the quarterback knock him out of the game.
That's in your opinion.
No, I don't think it's. I think it's in everybody's opinion. If Jimmy Garoppolo comes in the game in the second quarter, the Texans' chances of winning the game skyrocket.
Right, the chances
Facts.
Do.
That's
right,
a fact, not an opinion.
But no, it's an opinion to say that you're wishing on him to get injured.
No, that's something different. I'm saying it's a fact. If Matthew Stafford gets hurt in the second quarter, that the Texans' chances of winning go up.
Sure, they do, but I'm not. But I'm saying that I'm not wishing injury upon him. For them to hurt him, I hope that they're just on him all day.
I hope they're on him all day where he gets knocked out in the second quarter. I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo in this game. I want to see him in the game. Keith from L.A., get ready for Davis Mills because he's coming into the second quarter also. Yeah, but Davis Mills is going to run wild on the L.A. Rams. He looked great in the preseason.
What's the over-under on if the Texans win this game, how many days before we hear from Key?
I think Key will speak to us Monday no matter what.
But he'll make it. But it won't be. Well, yeah, he won't accept the loss.
What was it? Injuries with Astros Dodgers? Is that what the excuse card he tried to play?
Yeah, he said they're hurt.
Yeah,
the Astros had way more on the IL. Astros literally led baseball on people on the injured list. Oh, injuries. Okay, Key from LA. We can play that game too. Texture says happy holiday. That's two.
That's just being stubborn and trying to go.
We had multiple people basically thanking us for working today.
That's not the same though. My point is more the happy holiday, not that they're not thankful that we're working.
My favorite part of him saying that was he said happy holiday and not happy holidays.
What is a singular day?
Right. That's the funny part, I think.
Yeah.
Because like around Christmas time, you're like, hey, happy holidays, because you're encompassing a bunch of different holidays potentially.
Right.
Or a series of days, because nobody takes off just one day. Most people don't. So I thought it was funny, and I think it was intentional that he said happy holiday, not happy holidays. Because even like on Thanksgiving time, I think you say happy holidays.
Yeah, because most people are off at least 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was intentional and kind of funny. Kind of funny. All right, I hijacked this with my hope that Matthew Stafford leaves Sunday's game with an injury. Just a rest of the game injury. I'm not looking for he's out 3 weeks. I'm looking for rest of the game. That's it.
Trying to kill an elder statesman
of the
NFL.
I'm not trying to kill him. I'm trying to get him out for the final three quarters. I'm trying to, because I want Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson to abuse that older man. Abuse him out of the game. All right, you're starting a franchise from scratch. Who are the top three quarterbacks that you would take? And you got to keep age in mind, and you have to keep contracts in mind. So considering age, considering contracts, which quarterback would you start a franchise with right now today? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN, 92.5. You know a great spot to watch some football? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's peaceful. It's quiet. You can get away and really concentrate on the football that you love. Get out of the rat race. Get rid of the hustle and bustle of whatever's causing you stress and anxiety, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're going to be thankful that you did. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book that stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. From the open green space to the wildlife you don't see in the cities, beautiful, majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas, too. You can't beat it. They got the two creeks right there on the property. They have a catch-and-release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kiddos. Hike on their 92 acres of property. That's a lot greater than 40 acres. Kayak, play some pickleball, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They're always looking to take care of their visitors. We were out there at the start of summer. They had a food truck out there both nights that we were there. They had some live music on a Saturday. Two Creeks Crossing Resort always has you in mind. We stayed in the treehouse. Kids loved the treehouse. They had a great time in the treehouse. You can reserve the treehouse. You can also do the glamping. That's a great time. They have cabins right there on the creek. Those are awesome. Or if you have an RV, just pull up that bad boy. They have RV hookup spots too. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book that stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.